probably figure it out.
I have beers.
And welcome back to This Week in Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren.
I'm Brian Liston.
And you know what? It is the end of August. It is getting into September.
Yeah, it's basically fall.
It's basically fall. And it was weird because in Washington, where we are right now, actually right now we are at Postdoc Brewery in Redmond.
Yep.
Thank you, Postdoc Brewing. Sorry, I got the name wrong. Postdoc Brewing. Thank you very much.
And it's beautiful. It's sunny out.
Yes. But earlier today, it was straight up fall.
It was foggy, it was 60 degrees, it was misting, which is crazy because for the last 2 months we've basically had no rain and it's been 95 degrees every day in Seattle.
Yeah, no, it's been bizarre weather, but now it feels like fall again.
Yeah, and it's great because it's actually a great segue into our next topic, which is mixed reality. And if you ever need a break from crappy weather,
right,
you could just jump into some mixed reality.
I love that idea. Yeah. And you can now do that. Windows, there's a new mixed reality holiday update. So this was announced at IFA. Basically, there are a bunch of low-cost AR/VR headsets that are going to be available for Windows. They work with SteamVR, so it'll work with a lot of the games and software that's already out.
And you and I were talking about this earlier, and you mentioned like the concept of democratizing mixed reality.
Yes, because, you know, HoloLens is awesome and it's excellent, but it's expensive. And, you know, the Oculus and the Vive are awesome, but they're expensive.
They're expensive.
This is something that, you know, starts around $300 and it's going to bring, I think, mixed reality to the masses.
Yeah.
So, and that's really exciting to me because I think what developers are doing in that space and what will eventually happen for consumers of all types of applications is really cool. So check out this update, new low-cost mixed reality headsets coming to you.
Awesome. Yeah, and our next story, introducing the .NET IL linker. This is really cool. The TLDR of this story is basically being able to reduce the size of your applications up to 50%.
Yeah.
Being able to change that compile size of your binaries for .NET applications, which is huge. I mean, it's a big thing. Historically, large applications, large complex applications would be large on disk and they would take longer to initialize and start.
Right, so anything that can make that better is good. It was also built off of the Monolinker project, so I kind of love anything that's kind of been built off of stuff that's come before.
Absolutely.
Another cool thing, this is on Channel 9 right now.
One of our favorite shows.
One of our favorite shows, gals. We've got a great interview with Irina Frumkin, who is a software engineering manager. She's been at Microsoft forever. She's worked on
a lot of projects,
different
things.
Yeah, I was
mobile
going through this list.
And like photography, service experiences, Xbox Live.
Bing, Windows. Yeah. And she's basically developed a large-scale gaming services platform based on Azure, which is very cool. And talks about her experiences kind of building things, working at Microsoft. It's a very cool conversation.
No, it's fantastic, Anytime these episodes come out, if you are subscribed or not, go subscribe. They're fantastic.
Yeah, go subscribe because it's a great show.
It's a great learning experience just to see the insides of how people have gotten to where they are and the projects that they've worked on, whether they're external or internal. So the next one is also more Channel 9 content, Defrag Tools episode number 182, talking about a new debug tool preview. Go check this episode out. They're going to do a nice deep dive and show you what the tool is like.
Yeah, okay, very cool. I'm interested in checking this
out. Yeah, and it's a multi-part episode, so make sure you check out both parts.
Okay, check out both parts. Good to know. This is actually awesome, kind of going back to the learning side, which is where I work right now.
Yeah.
And this is, there's a free video course hosted by Jeffrey Richter, who's a Microsoft MVP, and it's all about architecting distributed cloud applications. And what I like about this video, it's a 6.5-hour course, is that it's technology agnostic. So for anybody who has, you know, is interested in building distributed cloud applications, but you kind of need to know what things you need to think about, what things you need to take into consideration.
Yeah.
It goes through all the steps, but I really like it, like I said, because it's technology
agnostic. Yeah, and the cloud can be confusing, especially if you're just getting started. All the clouds have a ton of services. Most of them, on average, have over 100 services. So taking a course like this really lets you understand the basics of what it means to build cloud-native applications.
Good stuff. Also good stuff, TypeScript.
TypeScript 2.5.
TypeScript 2.5 is out, that's very good.
TypeScript is awesome. It's a superset of JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. I don't really have any words because it's so good.
It's awesome. Lots of companies use it. It's very cool. Already the stuff is available for both Visual Studio Code and for Sublime Text.
Yep.
So if you're wanting to have, you know, the added benefits there, you can update your favorite code editor.
Absolutely.
And get that.
Yeah, get it now.
I love this. This is not tech newsy, but it's feel goody.
It's absolutely.
It makes me feel good. The Girl Scouts are introducing STEM focus badges. And this has kind of been kind of a culmination. They've done this a couple times over the summer, but
yeah.
What I really like about this is the Girl Scouts of America basically are supporting STEM programs, which is really important because
yep.
I think our next generation of
Empower
developers
the people, right?
are, you know, the girls and boys that are in school right now. And what I love about this is it's basically letting girls think like engineers and you know, instead of earning a badge in like camping, you can earn a badge in like data science or
absolutely.
In security.
I
and
love
that's
this too,
really
because
awesome.
It really is empowering that next generation. And, you know, I think you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. And just, we're not going to be around forever, right?
No, we're not.
Any of these programs, any of these STEM programs, any things like Women Who Code or Children Who Code or Kids Who Code, these programs are fantastic because they really are teaching the next generation how to get involved with technology and not be afraid of it and not stereotyping a certain type of people or class into a certain thing, right?
Exactly. And what I love about this too is, you know, it's giving people like real world experience. So when you're at Girl Scout camp, you're actually learning real world stuff that you can then take to the next level. And it's great. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So you and I were talking about this earlier a little bit. Do you want to talk about the email that we got?
Yeah. So we do listen to your feedback. Last week we talked about, this was awesome. We talked last week about the 3D printed Warthog.
Yeah, from Halo.
And from Halo. And the guy who created that 3D printed thing, Bryant Havercamp, he emailed us. And he
said, "Thank you, Bryant.
Thank you so much." And he basically said that, you know, he wanted to give, a reply out. First of all, Bryant, like we said, you're more than welcome to visit campus anytime.
Absolutely.
I know you're still in school right now, but like anytime you want to come to Washington
Bring
State,
it out.
Come out. We want to hang with you. But he says that, you know, only a small portion is actually 3D printed, but a good majority was welded, angled, iron steel, bent plastic, origami.
That's kind of 3D printing,
it
right?
It is. I mean, but I love that.
Like, with your hands.
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, the fact that any of it was 3D printed at all, the fact that you're doing all that stuff with your hands, the fact that you're building a Warthog at all, we love
it's
it.
It's awesome.
Thank you for emailing us. Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah.
And we're serious. When you're done with school, because I know that I think you're going to be a physicist. You live in Michigan. That's awesome. When you're done, when you're on summer break or winter break, come out to Redmond.
Are you going to work on Halo weapons? No. so this is good.
It.
Just the point is really also, we like getting these types of emails. If you're watching the show and you have an idea or we say something wrong or you just want to reach out to us, feel free to email us.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
We do read, all the emails. We really do.
Thank you for that.
So, pick of the week. What's your pick of the week?
I love this. So, TechRadar did an awesome kind of inside look at Building 85, which is where the Microsoft Surface comes to life.
Did you mean Building 87?
I did mean Building 87. I'm
sure some cool stuff happened in Building 85.
Probably, but this is Building 87, and I clearly can't read. No, this is really awesome. It's basically the home of the Microsoft Advanced Prototyping Center, or APC.
Yeah.
And my friend, Kevin Lee, shout out to Kevin. Genuinely, my friend Kevin wrote this post. I'm excited about it. It kind of goes in
depth. Is that why it's your pick?
Kind of, but honestly, the story is really good.
No,
because
it is a good story.
I didn't know all the cool stuff that's happening in Building 87 and how the Surface Books and you know all the Surface products are being built. And what we were actually talking about is we think we need to take a visit.
Yeah, maybe next week's episode we might shoot it in Building 87 or 85.
Or 85, maybe. Yeah, let us know what cool stuff is happening in 85. But check out this article if you want to kind of get an inside look at all the stuff and how the Surface is built, because that's very cool.
Absolutely.
What's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week is, this is fantastic. So this was, I think, just announced yesterday.
Yeah.
And Microsoft and Amazon are teaming up for a collaboration with Cortana and Alexa. And this is awesome. It's the first of its kind. And to see corporations like this working together, makes me think a lot of, so I'm heavily involved in open source.
Yeah.
And the spirit of open source is giving back and working with people. And
I love this because you don't see this a lot. Like most of the time, all these companies, you know, every major tech company has their own AI.
Right?
It's closed, and everybody is kind of working in their own silo. And that makes it hard for developers like you guys out there in the audience, because if you want to build a skill for one platform, you then have to port it to the other.
Absolutely.
What I love about this is that you'll be able to access Cortana from Alexa. So you can say, right now it'll be saying, Alexa, you know, ask Cortana to do this, but eventually it'll be even better integrated. But I love this because it's opening up the world to so many more things.
Because Alexa does certain
things, you know, better. Cortana does certain things better. Yeah. Now everyone's going to get to benefit from both. And I think that's how AI wins, right? Is by having the bigger ecosystem.
It needs to be, I don't know if maybe we talked about this, or maybe this was a conversation in my head at one point. It's very possible. Knowledge should be shared, right? And like certain things like this, and that's why open source is nice. And like when I think of this topic, my brain goes to the open source community and how everybody always gives back.
Yeah.
and to see large corporations who generally work in closed technologies. I mean, both companies are giving back to the open source community and doing things like that, but we all have proprietary technology, and it's really cool to see those proprietary technologies working together, and I would love to see more of that.
I would love to see more of it too, and it actually makes our news story that we showed last week, where if you ask Cortana about Alexa, yeah, makes it even funnier,
yes,
in retrospect.
Yeah. So do that.
Good job, everyone.
Yeah, cool.
All right, well, that wraps it up for us this week.
Yes, thank you for joining us at Postdoc Brewing.
Yes, thank you, Postdoc Brewing, for having us.
Enjoy your weekend. Yeah, cheers.